Hello and welcome to One Team in Wales, the podcast by Taff and Daff, where we look back through fixtures recently played and look ahead to the ones forthcoming. For a special today, I'm joined by Eve Jackson from Glamorgan and also Rosa Simkin, aka Rosa Talks Ball from the Two Tiers Deep podcast. And we're going to look at Glamorgan women in this special for today, looking at how they've started their season and looking ahead to the bank holiday weekend game against Derbyshire. So, Eve, first of all, thank you for joining us. How have things been the first couple of weeks? Must be positive with a couple of wins on the board.
Yeah, definitely. Three wins to start us off all in a row as well. It's been lovely. Lovely to be back outside with everybody in the team and also to play some good cricket as well.
Yeah, we were just saying before we came on about how in April you never know what you're going to get weather-wise, and yeah, we've been quite fortunate, haven't we?
Yeah, definitely. Some nice weather, blue skies and sun. So really enjoyable to not have too many rained off fixtures. The first one was a bit delayed, but we still managed to get on by the end of the day. And yeah, lovely to actually play some cricket rather than wait to play some cricket.
Rosa, it's been a good start, as we've just said. Three wins from three. You've been down at least two of them. I know. I'm not sure how you kept across the T20 County Cup. It's a start probably Glamorgan expected, as the kind of women's cricket expert tier two, especially. You know, is this fully what you would have anticipated?
I think for sure Glamorgan were incredibly strong last year, and I'd say we're unlucky in that final against Yorkshire to have it cut down to a T20. Played less to the strengths, but as a 50 over unit, they're looking pretty unstoppable at the moment, and it's good to see them near the top of the table.
Yeah, if we just reflect back for anyone who didn't catch those games, a 6-wicket win over Gloucestershire with Duckworth Lewis involved. So unfortunately, there was some bad weather ahead of that one, but still got a game in. Gloucestershire 185 for 8, Glamorgan 188 for 4, chasing that one down, and then beating Leicestershire 263 for 7, batting first with Glamorgan, and then bowling Leicestershire out for 210 to secure a 53-run win there, and then also a win in the T20 County Cup last weekend over Devon to put themselves in round two. And Eve, that was a competition that had a good little run last year, wasn't it? Played against Lancashire in round three. That must have been a great experience.
That was amazing. I actually, that game was at my school, so it was my last few months at school, and played against some like international players there. It was crazy. I never thought that last season was crazy enough. Combined with playing at school, it was mad, and against some famous people as well. It was lovely.
Do you enjoy getting to play kind of around different grounds? Because as much as it's nice to play at Sophia Gardens, I can imagine playing somewhere like Brecon was really nice. I think there was one at Colwyn Bay last year as well, if that's right. That must be really nice.
It's lovely, yeah. And there was one at I think Neath as well, which is really exciting. I used to go to Winter Nets in Neath in the evening, so to actually get outside and play is really exciting. And good because you also get quite nice crowds from local people rather than just always the classic crowds at Sophia Gardens. So it's lovely to play here, but I do really enjoy playing in other spots as well.
Rosa, the T20 County Cup is something I know that it really excites you. Particularly, you get to see the potentially how the growth of some tier two and three sides are comparing to tier one. Just tell us a bit more about that.
I mean, the County Cup, I'd say, is the best competition on the calendar, combining all three tiers. It's almost cricket's FA Cup, I'd say, is what I'd compare it to. And it's always really exciting to see those rising tier three players coming up against those tier two players, as tier three, in effect, has become the pathway to tier two cricket, tier two to tier one. And we do get upsets. I mean, we saw Norfolk beat Sussex in the opening round, which was super exciting, and some close ties elsewhere.
Well, Glamorgan managed to avoid an upset, but it did look a little bit hairy against Devon at times, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I mean, I'd say as a whole, when the tier three teams have been competitive, they've bowled really well against the tier two sides, and we saw that against Glamorgan, and then have maybe struggled a little bit more with bat in hand against the quicker pace of the bowlers. But thanks to Bethan Gammon, Glamorgan got a good total and then managed to get over the line.
Eve, that was your first game this season in competition. I know there's been a couple of development fixtures as well, but nice to get back out there in the T20 format.
Yeah, it was lovely. The team as well. It was all sort of the classic people I've been playing with last year. So really exciting to get back out, especially a few injuries, and then people sort of seemed to become uninjured for that one game. So we were all just back out there. It was really, really nice. And yeah, happy that we won in the end, obviously, as well. It can become quite stressful because you suddenly realize, like most matches is our it's point systems, whereas then suddenly you're just in the match and you have to win to go through to the next level. And it seems like you should sort of be broken into it, but you're not. You're just straight out there and have to win straight away.
Particularly for those that played in the first two games as well, coming straight from a 50-over format, what's the kind of adjustment you guys take from that? And you know, what's particularly Rachel's kind of, I don't know, if there's a kind of a big speech or a big philosophy of how to play differently.
I think it's focused around training throughout the week. So if we know we've got a T20 coming up, in training, all of the like bowling plans, field settings, batting wise, we're thinking how we're going to play in that T20 rather than the 50 over, and then vice versa. Definitely switching from 50 over to T20 as well. There's a big emphasis on it throughout the week coming up to it, of think about how you're playing in a T20, not just think about how you're playing cricket. Think about how you're going to execute those plans on the weekend. So it's almost as if it's not your first time playing that T20 when you actually come to it.
It was also really
Obviously,
interesting,
no,
sorry,
that's right.
because the tier three players came from playing in the Vitality Blast, whereas you guys were coming from playing in the One Day Cup. So I guess for you're coming up against players who have had that T20 experience already in the season.
Yeah, definitely. That's true. I didn't even think of that, to be honest. But yeah, because we've had to sort of adjust from playing longer format cricket where you can afford to have slower overs, even though you want to keep ticking. But yeah, definitely.
From your role in the game in the T20 Cup, it looked like, you know, you're being played as like a genuine all-rounder batting in the middle and bowling a couple of overs as well. Does that see how that role has been kind of taken to you since the club formed last year? Or does it differ between One Day Cup T20? What's the kind of conversations you have around your role? Because obviously with the academy as well, you might be doing something different there to when you play in the senior side.
Yeah, so in the senior stuff, I tend to bat sort of middle to lower order. We have obviously lone players coming in, and there's a few batsmen there who are specialist batsmen. So they definitely, obviously, the high up the order. T20s, I think my style isn't as much T20s. I play, I'm not a big hitter, so probably again there I'd be a bit lower down the order. Academy things, I do tend to bat top order and also bowl. And then obviously in the women's stuff, through last season, I bowled a bit more. So that's why I still do sort of both. If I'm then higher up the order, I still get a bit of a bowl as well. But it was nice to get higher up. In the first few games, we've had a few like warm-up games against second teams, and I've got a bit of a bat in both of those. So I think that might be one of the reasons for being a bit higher up this time.
I was going to say, you mentioned lone players. How's that been with those coming in? Obviously, you had a couple last year come in and out, but it looks like there's a kind of set three or four that are going to play the majority of the year this year. How have you found those guys coming in and the experience of getting tier one players in to really strengthen the side?
I really enjoy it. I think it's great having people in and among the team. There's obviously new faces that are sort of permanently with us, and then there's some that are just dropping in and out for a few games. But I think it's great, just the experience that they have from playing the next level, and then they bring back to the game. You watch them, whether it's on the side asking them questions or whether it's in the game, just showing their experience and that sort of determination to really go out there hard from the start, bowling and batting wise. I think you can really learn from them, and I really, really enjoy having the lone players there. Definitely.
Do you think it's a bit of a double-edged sword in a way? I mean, obviously you're still young and you're getting the chances to play in the academy, but in a more competition for places, do you enjoy that more or is it kind of a bit bittersweet?
I mean, obviously I'd love to play every game, but I think that in the big scheme of things, it's more important to learn that like I'm getting all the experience that I want. I've played once, which is what I wanted to do. So I think it's better to learn from the people being there, and I'd rather them come in and learn from them, like in the bowling, in the warm-ups, that and like watch the how they play the game and stuff like that, fields, etc. Than just sort of never progress because I'm just always playing at the level that I want to be at. I definitely want to keep getting better, so I really enjoy them coming in. Obviously, it'd be nice to play a game, but that's unrealistic, and I do really enjoy them being there.
I'm sure the opportunities will come up. Rosa, let's talk a little bit more about the loan players in particular. Megan Sturge, one of them who's come in and picked, got off running really quickly, 41 not out, to Diggle Morgan out of a bit of a hole against Gloucestershire and then a really good knock against Leicestershire as well. She's been playing a lot of cricket.
She has been playing a lot of cricket. I tend to keep an eye on the scorecards, and I swear that week she went from playing for Glam to playing for Hampshire's second 11, to then playing for Hampshire's first 11 against Warwickshire at Edgbaston. It's a busy way to be, and I'm also pretty sure she can do it all, can't she? She also can turn a hand. So it's interesting to see how she fits into the side, and she's definitely one who's really strengthened that 11 and provides some useful runs down the order.
And then other ones, Bethan Ellis is kind of on a rotation with Warwickshire, as we understand it, and Charlotte Lambert, a young seamer from Surrey as well, who's just played the one game so far.
I mean, I know Bethan quite well. I'm from near Edgbaston. I spent a lot of time watching the Central Sparks back in the old era, and now Warwickshire playing, and she definitely strengthens any team she's a part of. I think in the field as well, she really brings that extra dynamism. And I think bringing in those pacers from Tier 1 is really interesting to see kind of how they compare to the Tier 2 pace, and increasingly we're seeing it level up, and that's really promising as it means Tier 2 is becoming a genuine pathway for Tier 1 cricket.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see how the year is going to go, isn't it? In terms of how it looks to next year, because it seems like teams last year didn't take potentially as much advantage of the loan system as they could have. I think Glamorgan were one of the ones who did it particularly well. But it's interesting to see someone might play for multiple different tier two sides before trying to get their tier one gig, isn't it? And obviously with the academy as well, there's you know, it's a really tough indication of who's going to get that opportunity and where they might come, because it might be for Bethan Ellis or Megan Sturge that they get plenty of runs in tier two this year, and then Hampshire and Warwickshire respectively decide, oh no, actually we want to keep them next year. We don't want to give them to Glamorgan. Whereas at the moment, it looks like the loan might be being used as a phased way into becoming a Glamorgan player. Is that the way you see it?
It's a really interesting way of looking at it, and I think the way Glamorgan have used the loan system is really interesting, because you look at that Gloucestershire team that played that opening game, and a lot of those players are part of Glamorgan's pathway, including the captain, Liv Daniels, and it made more sense for Glamorgan clearly to send them out and make sure they're getting regular cricket. But then you've got the flip end of that spectrum, and you've got teams like Middlesex who really don't take advantage of that loan system and have retained their core of players from before the Project Darwin era and do very well. And then you've also got teams like Derbyshire who really struggled last season and have now brought in a couple of Yorkshire girls on loan and are looking much stronger. But it's definitely about finding that balance, because you don't want to be in a situation where tier one talent is dominating too much and taking those opportunities too much. But it's important to have the best players playing in the tier to ensure that we can constantly improve it.
Eve, what's that like as a player, as someone who's part of the academy? Some of your academy teammates play for Gloucestershire and play for Wiltshire, whereas you're one who's still at the club. What conversations actually have to make the decision of who goes and who stays? Do you know what kind of happens there?
I don't think it's as much a thing of the club sending people off. It's more they're on loan from the academy to the tier system, because the academies are tier one and the tiers are tier two. So I think how it works is that you get loaned from an academy to the, but most of the people who play for Gloucester sort of just were always playing for Gloucester, and so they just said, "I'll be part of your academy," because the academy, the Glamorgan one, sort of encompasses Glamorgan, Wiltshire, and Gloucester. So I think that they decided that's where I'll play my academy cricket. But I'll just still play for my county. One, get more of a chance. Sometimes it's good to be playing every weekend rather than being lower, like not being picked every weekend, for example. And also, obviously, Wiltshire's tier three, so a few of the girls in Wiltshire are also part of the women's here. So it basically depends on where they came from, I think. A lot of people stayed at their original counties in terms of tier cricket and then just joined the academy because that's where they can play their academy cricket because there's no Gloucestershire academy, so they can do it there.
And I mean, the academy has been a great opportunity it brought for you last year. I think, was it your first 100 ever came in an academy game, or certainly first one since representing Glamorgan rather than Cricket Wales? I mean, how do you feel the opportunities have come about for you?
Yeah, it's been excellent. I love the academy cricket, especially because the women's games obviously once a week on the weekend. So you just get that extra amount of cricket in between high competitive standard against really talented girls and with really talented girls. I really enjoyed it. And obviously, yeah, 100 is really special to get that. I enjoyed that a lot. But just in general, I love playing academy cricket, and it just gives you that extra boost of cricket throughout the week, so that you just keep improving, playing those games, getting that experience against quality competition, so that when you play your weekend games, less nerve-wracking, but also you've got the experience from the rest of the week to bounce back on.
And it was virtually an academy side that beat Hampshire Seconds the other day, given that there were players from Gloucestershire playing under the Glamorgan banner in what was a developmental friendly. I mean, that just shows great signs, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Partly, I think, obviously, that most of the women are at work, so it's harder for them to get to those games if they're taking time off work in the middle of the week. But yeah, definitely. The academy is really strong, just as the women's team is. So there's a lot of talent coming through that's heading into that, which is why we can use full teams. And I mean, Liv Daniels, who got the 5 wickets for us, which basically won us the game, is obviously not part of the. She's only part of the academy. She's part of Gloucester Women, but they're still just as much a part of. And we train together sometimes, so the women will, all the women who are just in the women know the girls who are just in the academy. So it's all really quite integrated.
I was going to say as well, it's an interesting point you bring up about obviously the women being at work. You turned 18 last summer during the season, and you mentioned playing at school with just a couple of months left. How's that looked for you since? And obviously, because you do have the opportunity to play in the week for the academy, you've already said about how great that is for your development. How's things looked for you over the last year since the season's come to an end and then back again?
Well, I've got a job. I just work as sort of a waitress at near where I work. I didn't fancy going to university for the ne in the next few years. I'm really enjoying playing cricket. I want to get as much as I can out of that. And I think if I start to divide my attention, like last year, it was quite stressful at some points. Had to miss a few games because of exams, and I just didn't want that to be the same case this year. And I don't want to rush into doing anything. So, yeah, and then obviously it gave me the opportunity as well to go away over the winter. I went to Australia from January to beginning of April to play some cricket and also travel. And I loved it. It was the best thing I've ever done by a mile. So, I think looking forward, I definitely want to do that again as well. So that's why I'm still planning on doing the same thing, just a bit of work, bit of cricket, bit of travel.
Oh, it sounds like it could be, cricket, 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 particularly depending on the contracts, obviously, however they go next year. And then who knows, hopefully it might mean that that could become your livelihood and you don't have to think about a job elsewhere. Because Roses, we're still quite fresh into the tier system and the academies of knowing how it's going to look going forward. Obviously, Yorkshire have moved from tier two last year to tier one this year. Is their side pretty much the same? I mean, what indication do we get that when teams such as Glamorgan move to Tier 1 next year, you know, there's only so many contracts they can give, and with the academy as well, obviously that's going to carry on running. But are people going to get lost in the system, do you think, or will it likely be that people can progress through the academy to earn contracts quite easily?
You'd like to think that there is a real potential for progression between academy and professional cricket. I mean, we've gone in a few years from having no fully professional teams to having 10 next year, and there's only so many pathways, which means there's a lot of opportunities for players coming through. I think Yorkshire were in a bit of a unique situation because they were professional last year in Tier 2. So it was very predictable who in that squad was going to carry over because they were all pretty much on 2-year deals. Whereas for Glamorgan, it's much more exciting, and I'd say there's much more opportunities for the youngsters. We haven't seen many young Yorkshire players pick up contracts yet. A lot of them are still just playing academy cricket and slotting into Tier 1 games when they can. Whereas for Glam, you'd like to think that the younger players can get those contracts signed early, as it really helps your development if you're able to dedicate all your time to cricket.
Because it seems to me on the surface that players might not necessarily move around clubs in the first couple of years. So it might be that some of the Glamorgan first team at the moment get their contracts. People like Lauren Parfitt, Bethan Gammon, who are the senior players, they're all, you'd like to think, nailed down contractors for next year. Whereas the, and then, you know, so many more go to the academy and potentially why they've got their loanees this year. It's hard to see movement between clubs on the surface to me.
Yeah, for sure. I also think in women's cricket, from the conversations I've had with players, there's a lot more thinking about life off the pitch than there is sometimes in men's cricket. You know, the money isn't where it is in the men's game, so you're unlikely to be moving around purely for financial incentive. You want to be in an environment where you're feeling nurtured and you feel like you can genuinely develop. And it's been interesting to see Somerset tying a lot of their youngsters down to longer term deals, maybe conscious that Glamorgan are waiting in the wings to come up to Tier 1. So you'd like to think that Glamorgan would retain their core and really take advantage of also the Welsh talent, which is obviously a very unique standpoint.
Eve, I know Rachel said pre-season that she kind of went away from all the cliches of taking it one game at a time. She said she's really looking forward to next year and trying to prepare for that as soon as possible. You know, she doesn't want to just go up and, you know, be like a tier two side in tier one. So what conversations have there been between her and Amy and yourself, or potentially some of the other academy girls, in terms of how that might look?
I think we're just looking to improve on where we were last year. So last year we did well in the Tier 2 competition, but always just looking to be better. Even weekends, like we've won 3 games in a row, but at every game we're just thinking we've won, but what can we do to get even better than that? Because we do have a massive thing approaching us, and you don't want to suddenly get to September or November when it begins, and then all of a sudden you have to become this tier one team from nowhere. So I think that's a massive reason why we focused on loan players, because everyone's been very aware that you do need to just have that experience from the next level. So I think that's another reason why they're so good at getting those, and just so that we can really prepare, just see a bit of what the game's like at the next level. But yeah, it's just something to always think about. Just keep trying to get better, and eventually you will reach a position. Not scary, not thinking like, come on, we need to be as good as these people out here. But yeah, we just try and improve from every single game, and just the awareness of what's coming, so that we're all preparing for that as well as the season ahead.
Yeah, it must be a strange scenario of competing with people internally, obviously, for contracts next year, or places in the squad, place in the academy, because there will be even more youngsters coming through to get signed up to the academy. And obviously, as I said as well, you don't know if people will be looking to move from elsewhere, for who might be fighting for those places. So it's a really I can imagine like uncertain kind of pathway right now. But one
Yeah,
that brings, but one with optimism as well, of course.
definitely. I know what you mean that but I think that all of the individuals there, we're just all looking to play the best games that we can do, and then everything will just take care of itself. Like, just control all the controllables, train as hard as you can throughout the winter. Big focus on all of the S&C stuff as well as the technical cricket things, just trying to improve every area that we can. So, for the people who it does become their lifestyle, they are doing everything already, so it's not as new. So definitely you have in the back of your mind that people, but there's no sort of animosity towards each other inside teams. Like, we're still a team at the end of the day, and we've still got a whole season together before any of that even happens. So that's obviously the focus right now.
Oh no, I mean from what I see at games and stuff, it seems like everyone's close. I wouldn't have thought there's brawls in the changing rooms, put it that way. The form has been really strong, so that is like I say, a nice problem I suppose to have for next year when that does come. So let's look ahead then to the game coming on Monday, Bank Holiday against Derbyshire. Rosa, you've already spoke about them being, a bit of a false side from last year who really struggled, got thumped by Yorkshire a couple of times. And then this year they've come out completely differently.
They really have. I mean, in their defence, I think quite a few teams found themselves on bad end of results by Yorkshire last season. But they've definitely come back in and rebuilt. But they've still managed to retain a lot of their core from last season. They had a very young squad, I think the youngest squad by far in Tier 2. And as a whole, it wasn't quite clicking. I don't think they got any wins in the One Day Cup last year, but they've started much stronger this year. They've got three loanees from Yorkshire slash Yorkshire Academy. They've got Fran Lonsdale, they've got Rebecca Duckworth, and they've got Rhea Fackrell. So that's a real strengthening for them to be much more competitive this year.
Eve, trip to Derbyshire on Monday. I assume, as always, you're going to be confident when you've got 3 wins under your belt.
Yeah, I think definitely. Well, we have a massive thing about not sort of being arrogant around the way that we play. Don't, like, every game we play tough competition. Yes, we might have 3 wins under our belt, but each game is just a completely fresh start. And especially as Rosa was saying about teams like taking it a lot more seriously, loan players, etc. We just have to not be arrogant at all. Every game, start from the start, do the basics well, and everything else will take care of itself, hopefully.
And any academy games or development games to follow next week as well?
I think so. I feel like, well, we have our first academy fixture soon, I think, because obviously we've had games with academy girls, but they've been the sort of women slash academy developments. I'm sure that our first academy fixture is approaching soon, but I'm not sure if it's next week or the week after, but definitely sometime soon.
Well, hopefully we see you in the 11 against Derbyshire, given your opportunity in the T20 County Cup. But as we said, there's a lot of competition places with low knees. Have you got any kind of personal goals of, I don't know, games you want to play, or particularly, I don't know, you're a setter of goals with runs and wickets in a season, for example?
Not really, no. I don't tend to set too many targets. Just I was really happy with how last season went. Maybe get a few more good scores with the bat, like just focus more on, rather than results, like things I want to improve in my game, like bowling more dot balls but facing less dot balls when I'm batting, stuff like that. I definitely, one thing, obviously I haven't played a fixture at Sophia Gardens yet, so that's obviously, I'd love to play one of the double headers or something like that. I absolutely loved it last year. I thought the atmosphere was great and I love playing here. So, one game at Sophia Gardens, that would be my goal for this year.
Yeah, I do remember you playing at Sophia Gardens last year and bowling a really good spell, actually. So hopefully fond memories of that continue. I think we'll wrap it up there, guys. So Eve, thank you for joining us. Hopefully you get that opportunity on Monday. And if not, then good luck to the Glamorgan women side, of course. As always, thank you to Rosa also for joining me. Make sure you check out Rose's podcast with Tier 2 cricketer Chloe Hill called Two Tiers Deep. And from me, Blake Bint, thank you for listening. Make sure you check out TAF and DAF for plenty of news, features, opinion and match coverage as well. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.